We are grateful this morning. We're so thankful because you've given us another opportunity together, and to praise and worship you. That's our purpose in coming together, is to praise and worship you, to give you the honor and glory that you deserve, and to study your word, Lord, to receive a word from you this morning. We really need to receive a word from you. We know, Father God, that you know each one of us by name. You know every hair on our head. You know everything about us because you made us, because you created us. You knew us when we were unformed in our mother's womb. And so we need you, Father God, to move by your spirit in our service this morning. We need you, Father God, to touch hearts and give peace to those that need peace, and give strength to those that need strength, Father God. And we just thank you for what you will do. We know, Father God, that you are a God who never lies. You are a God who never fails. And what you have promised, you are also able to perform. And so we thank you as we open up our service. We thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. And we are clothed and in our right mind with the activity of our limbs. And we were able to dress ourselves for God and be able to connect to each other on this wonderful device program that you have called Zoom. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let me set this up real quick. We will get something.
Joy. Joy. maker.
Getting that from YouTube.
Second here, okay. I have one more. One more if I can get it. Let's see here. We don't want no commercials.
Thank you.
I listen to that song every morning, Pastor, because it says, even when you don't see it, he's working. And I have to remind That's myself right. of that. Even when you can't see it, Gloria, he's working.
That's right.
So whatever you're going through, I want you to remember those words. When you don't see it, he's working. Yeah. Sabrina, hell no. Zedrick, no. Yeah. Denise, no. And I know, Pastor, no. Even when you can't see it, God is working, and I keep that in mind when people try to come against me, give me a hard time, and right before I go to work, I play this song. I'm sorry, I just had to say that, Pastor.
No, that's all right. I like that song because it talks about who he is. He's a way maker, you know, and that is what is so important. Yeah, we know who he is, because if you don't know who he is, you're missing it, because he's a way maker. He's all those things that song says and even more.
Amen.
So I'm in agreement with you. That's how I sung it. I'm sure others have been blessed by the words of that song. You know, it's the words. The melody is wonderful, but we need to hear what the words are saying. So we're going to talk about this morning our thought life a little bit. And I know that our thoughts play a great role in how we function. So we're going to just talk about that a little bit. How we can clean up our thought lives. How we can get those thoughts in line with the Word of God. How we will allow our thoughts to be agreeable with the Word of God. Because, you know, we definitely have some thoughts and come to the Lord with some thoughts that are not good. And in recovery circles, they talk about thinking. And some of us don't understand that when we get saved, we accept the Lord Jesus in our heart. So we pray that prayer. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised us from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. And of course, he's going to do that for us in the rapture. But we need to understand that we come with a mind that needs to be renewed. And if you look at Romans chapter 12, it talks about renewing the mind. So this morning, I just want to talk about those thoughts that we have and how we need to get those thoughts in line with the Word of God. Get those thoughts, that stinking thinking, out of our minds. And so we are, in essence, talking about renewing the mind. But I just want to concentrate on the thoughts that we have and shouldn't have this morning. So, Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Father, anoint the ears of the hearers so that they can hear, Father God. The Spirit of God so that they can hear and apply in their minds and in their hearts what your word says our thoughts should be like. And Father God, we don't want anyone to go away from here the same as they came. So we're asking, Father, that you would do that work that you do through the Holy Spirit to help us to understand and open up the eyes of our understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. So, we're going to talk about thoughts and how they influence our day-by-day or day-to-day actions. And, of course, in many cases, the twists and turns that life throws at us, we're totally out of control. It's out of our control. We're out of control many times because of the things that have happened to us in our lives. And, of course, I'm doing my one-on-one pastoral care ministry on Zoom with the inmates in San Mateo County Jail. More males than females. I have one or two females that ask for spiritual care, but a lot of the males sign up. Share with me information about their lives and what caused them to be where they are and along with their families in their early days of their lives. And so I get a lot of personal information and I also get a lot of information about what they think. And of course, I'm able to share with them the Word of God, because if we want to have a thought life that is controlled by God, then we have to change our thinking. And so it's only that we change because of rough times. Instead of beating yourself up to clean up your thoughts, we're going to give you some other ways to do it this morning so that your thought life becomes agreeable with God's will. And of course, we know that God's will is in His Word. And that's why we have Bible study. That's why we give you scriptures when we do our teaching, is because the Word of God is God's will. And so if you want to know what His will is, to have your mind agreeable with His will, then you have to know what the Word says. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. So we need to have faith in God. We need to do that first of all. So we accept God's plan of action, and we have faith in God, and we know that there is a reason for everything that occurs. And if your prayers are not answered, then trust in God and know that He has a different plan for you. You see, that's the key. That is really. Because oftentimes what we say to God in prayer doesn't line up with the Word. We need to learn how to pray according to the Word. And because a lot of times what we ask in God to do, God is not going to do, because it doesn't line up with His Word. It doesn't line up with His will. It's not something that He would do. And so we need to get that Word on the inside of us. And then when we pray according to the Word. And when we pray according to the Word, then we trust in God and know He has a different plan for us, because what His Word says is what His plan is for us. And so your undivided faith in God will set you free and keep you grounded during good times and the bad times in your life. Because when you get saved, nobody in their right mind will tell you you're not going to have any trouble. See, that's what folks think. They think they get saved, we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we shall be saved. And saved means I'm trouble-free. Everything's going to go the way I need it to go from now on. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that the devil is very angry about you giving your life to Christ. He wasn't in that at all. And so he's still trying to keep you in bondage. He's still trying to keep you where he has had his foot on your head all the time. But when you change over and switch over to letting Christ be your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit leading your life, well, then he gets angry. So he's not trying to help you do the right thing. He's trying to get your attention again to do things that are ungodly. So we need to understand that we need to do things that will cause us to have that mind that is agreeable with God's plan. And so that's why we need affirmations. We need affirmations to help us, because what you say, you speak. And your thinking needs to line up with the Word of God. So the first affirmations that I really did, that I recognized, were scriptures. They were scriptures. And I began, God showed me, and through some other ministers before I was ever had acknowledged my ministry, that you can pray the Word of God. When I learned how to pray the Word of God, then I knew that I was on the right track, because I was praying God's will. So you need to get your subconscious, if you want to call it, or your spirit man, you need to get it in line by utilizing affirmations, you know, speaking out of your mouth, because what you say out of your mouth is what you're going to get. And so many of us are so accustomed to speaking out of our mouths the things that we don't want to happen to us, but we claim them. We claim these statements. I'm so sick. I'm so tired. I can't get ahead no matter what I do. God just don't hear my prayers. All of that is doubt and unbelief, and all of that we speak out of our mouth, and it doesn't help our situation. So we need to help to condition our subconscious or your spirit man by utilizing affirmations. It conditions your mind. Get your mind renewed with the Word of God. That's what it tells us in Romans chapter 12, that we need to get our minds renewed by the Word of God. So the positive and negative statements that you make throughout your life will help you help you condition your thought life or your subconscious, whatever you want call it, but it's really your spirit. Everything that goes in your head should come out of your spirit. That spirit in you, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, becomes connected with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. So as you connect your thoughts with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is now in control, then that's when you get that connection that you need to have in order to speak words from your mind that are renewed by the Word of God. If you're confused, just keep listening to me and you'll get it. And so we need to be grateful. We need to appreciate what God has provided for us. Appreciation can go a long way and, you know, help you stay humble. You know, when you really appreciate what Jesus did at Calvary for you, for us, you know, we just celebrated. Easter was what we call it, Resurrection Day, and it's the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave after he gave his life for us so that we could be saved. He didn't do anything wrong. The whole purpose of him going to Calvary was for us, not for him. And so, you see, we need to appreciate. You know, we need to stay humble. I see sometimes we get saved and God calls us to do certain things, and we're in the limelight because we're in leadership, and we forget that if we're not for him, we're for him. We forget how messed up we were before we were saved. And maybe you didn't have an addiction, or maybe you didn't have a history of incarceration, and maybe, you know, you weren't homeless. Maybe you was doing good before you got saved. But I'm telling you, the only reason that you're able to do what you do is because of the grace of God. So we don't should take anything for granted. And we should remember that God will never give you more than you can handle. So when we have these trials that come, these fiery trials, we need to understand that God is our source and that we need to lean on him. We need to trust him and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit during that time. So when you're blessed, remember to be grateful and never forget the people surrounding you that made the fortune possible. You see, God puts people around you that can give you the support you need. And that's one of the things that is so appealing to me about 12 step is that God puts people around you to support you. He puts people around you that can encourage you and that you can go to in your time of need. He puts people that are experienced in their sobriety to support you. People who have walked in your shoes and gotten the t-shirt to help you stay clean and sober. And even when you fall, those same people come and they encourage you to get up and dust yourself off and start all over again. And so when you're blessed, remember to be grateful and never forget the people surrounding you that made the fortune, the inheritance, what how you look today possible. Because God uses people. Now, we don't give the people the glory. We give that to God. But we need to know that he puts people in our path. I just talked about to y'all earlier about this man that showed up at Bread of Life one Sunday. I didn't know this guy. And Reverend was still taking care of, he was the doorkeeper. He was the usher for the, you know, for the church. And this guy came in and he, whatever he said to Reverend, Reverend said, gave him a, told him to take a seat. And he sat there through the whole service. And he sat there because he needed some help. So he sat through the service. I thought maybe somebody, he came to the service, but what he really came for some hours with the church. We have that thing that they do where they'll allow you, if you can't pay the fine and you need to keep from going to jail, that if you can get somebody to let you work it off with their organization, if they're signed that with the courts, then you can do that. And so our organization is signed up with the courts because we do business with formerly incarcerated people, people who are in drug and alcohol recovery. We do business with folks that's been in trouble. And so this man came and he sat through the service. And then after the service, Reverend said, a pastor, this man needs to talk to you. Well, then I realized that he really didn't come to the service just to come. He came because he needed some help about something. And, of course, what he needed was for me to allow him to do some hours. And he had done research on me. And then some attorney told him, you need to get in touch with her. She'll help you. So I never figured out who the attorney was. He kept calling the guy's name to me. Didn't mean nothing. Didn't mean a hill of beans to me. But it put him in touch with me. And so he did his hours by developing a new website for me. He had already done the research. See, I looked on looked online, and I see that you have a website, but I think it needs updating. And if you'll let me, I'll update it for you so that it is current and you can use it. And so I said, fine, because, you know, sometimes people come and they want to do hours with me, but because we don't have our own building now, I don't have any cleaning up for them. I don't have no, you know, work for them to do in the building. So what he was going to do was going to help promote what we do and give people information about Bread of Life. So that's what we did. And he continues to have contact with me. He doesn't come to service like I would like him to, but he stays in touch with me. And so it's interesting how God puts people in your path. And this man and I have become very good friends. He's a young guy with a family situation, and so we meet every so often and have coffee, and he shares with me what's going on in his life. So I kind of act as a sponsor for him. He doesn't claim to have an addiction or be in recovery, but that's what I seem to act as his sponsor therapist. But that's okay. God, he caused that to happen, so I'm okay with that. You know, when God puts people in your life and you know it, then you need to be okay with that. So there are some other things that we need to do to help ourselves with this thought life, having a clean thought life. And so one of those things is forgive and forget. And Lord, have mercy upon us. It is one thing to say I forgive, but it is another thing to say I forget. And there are some things in our lives that we are not going to ever forget. And one of my instructors at Ray Bible College, Reverend Doug Jones, he is now over the Rhema Ministerial Association, and so I've had opportunity to stay in touch with him, and even he has allowed me to speak in his life, and I'll send him stuff sometimes that I send you all. And so when he was teaching us on that subject, he said, at first, he said, oh, you just have to forgive. When you forgive, you have to forget. And so he went back and he did some more studying, and he came back to class and said, look, I know and you know that the forgiveness part is okay, but the forgetting is very difficult. And he says, you have to grow into that. You have to mature into that. But to the best of your ability, when you forgive people, don't keep going back to it, trying to open that box again. Try to keep it closed. And eventually, God will give you the strength and the grace to put it in the ground file so that you not having that come up in your spirit, you know, every time you think about that person, that you're not grinding your teeth and your stomach hurting when you think about that person and anger rising up in you about that person. I had occasion, you know, when God is going to use you to teach a message, he oftentimes walks you through the message, even though you don't think that's what he's doing, that's what he's doing. So a couple of days this past week, when I've been in the shower, and I need to tell you about that. You know, God speaks to us in different places. And, you know, when I first paid it attention, I'd be standing in the mirror washing my face or standing in the mirror combing my hair or whatever, and God would begin to speak to me as I was doing that. Well, we also have conversations while I'm in the shower. So I'm in the shower and God is bringing up these people who have crossed my path in my life, most of them dead now, that have done things to me that were not nice, and I had to forgive them. But, you know, even after years, you don't forget what that person does to you. You don't hold on to it, but if somebody called their name, you probably would remember, oh, yeah, that's the one that did so-and-so-and-so. I'm laughing at myself, y'all. I'm telling you the truth. So God, again, I'm in the shower, and this person's name came up, and here's about, you know, so. But let me tell you something else that can happen as a teaching tool. because there are spirits operating in these people that do you wrong. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. I didn't intend to, but God is sending me that way about this forgiveness thing. And so I might not be able to finish this teaching because I want to tell you this. Sometimes when God takes us back to a situation that we say we have forgiven and we have forgotten, because there's another spirit operating in your life, that's that, and it's the same kind of spirit as that person had. So this time, God brought that person up to me in the shower. It was just yesterday. And I said, well, Lord, she's dead. And I'm supposed to just leave that alone. But then I thought about it. I said, well, God, who else is operating in my life that has that same spirit that person had and will do what that person did to me again? So I'm telling you, it's a very important thing for us to forgive, but it's very difficult sometimes to forget. And then sometimes we forget it, but then when the timing is right, God will bring it back to our remembrance because we're in contact with that same spirit again. You see, the devil is not interested in us having all of this good peace and joy. I like that music this morning, that song about joy. And if you notice, the people were singing and they were smiling, because when you think about joy, it makes you smile. So, you know what, we need to understand that, you know, if you do not find in your heart to forgive and forget, you will become resentful and full of rage. We have to understand that. We are always trying to do that, no matter what the situation may be. Find it in your heart to let go of that thing and remove the negativity permanently from your thoughts. So I said two things to you. I said it's difficult to do that, but we must do it. And I said sometimes God will bring that situation back to your remembrance because you're facing a similar situation with that same spirit. So I want you to hear me real good. God forgives, and he forgets the sins of his children on a daily basis. And so we need to stay true to God and do the same. You know, the psalmist says in one of the psalms, and I should have gotten that number of psalms for you, where the psalmist says that God throws those things that happen to us into the sea of forgetfulness. And we need to let those things go into the sea of forgetfulness. And if it comes up again, we need to ask God, what's going on, Lord? Is that spirit in someone else that I'm dealing with? Why are you reminding me of this situation? And so I'll leave it right there. And then we talk about meditation. And we know that Psalms 19 says, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Now, when we talk about meditation in these days and times, we have to be careful because we have all these meditation gurus, you know, with these turbans on their head. And I'm not talking about a group of people who wear turbans. I'm talking about folks that want to say they want to teach us how to meditate, and they want you to hum and empty your mind and all of that kind of stuff. Well, you don't want to empty your mind. You want your mind renewed, and you want your thoughts to be agreeable to the will of God. So it says, you know, we have to understand that you clear your thoughts by meditating, but you don't clear your thoughts by meditating with some of this stuff these people want you to do. Listen for the bell and all of that. You want to clear your thoughts by filling your mind with the Word of God. renew your mind with the Word of God. That's what you want to do. You know, and if you're juggling work and a family life, you probably not often that you get alone time. But you got to try to find you some alone time. You need to get up. You know, when I worked a secular job, and I did for the first 10 years of this ministry, I worked a secular job and pastored as well. I got up at 5 o'clock every morning so I could have an hour of prayer time before I got myself ready to go to that secular job. You need to set some time aside so that you can have your time with the Lord, especially when you're starting your day. And I hear Reverend Wilson talking about how he gets to that IKEA building, that big old blue building over there before he goes in there to do his job. You see, you have got to make sure that you're connected with the Lord when you're going out into the world. If you're going to a job, whatever it is, you need to have had some conversation with God, because there are things that He will warn you about, the Holy Spirit will warn you about, that will help you get through the day without the devil eating your lunch. You have to do that. So on a regular basis, you need to take a few minutes to rid yourself of negative energy and cleanse your mind of the day-to-day issues that you are constantly faced with. Find a way to meditate. And I use that word meditate in that situation. We're not talking about any of those other things. We're not talking about yoga. We're not talking about any of those kinds of things. But we're talking about finding a way to connect with God. And sometimes you can do that while you're running. Sometimes you can do that while you're walking or just sitting alone. And I have learned that, you know, I was taking walks, frequent walks, because I was trying to lose weight. And so I need activity anyway. At my age, you need to stay active. And of course, I don't have to worry about taking walks now because I have my dog, Sarah, and Sarah has to go for walks because she has to go potty. And so I get my walks in. But before I had Sarah, I used to try to plan a walk at lunchtime or plan a walk before, you know, in the evening before I got settled in for the night. I would go for a walk. And love daylight saving time, because you have a longer time more daylight to walk. I'm not so hot on walking in the dark now. I live in an area that's pretty safe, and I do take Sarah out before we go to bed, and we don't walk very far, but we do go outside in the dark. Here in East Palo Alto, I feel safe enough to do that, because not only do I feel safe, but I got the Holy Ghost and I got God's armor on, and I know He's going to take care of me. And if there's anything dangerous going on, He's going to let me know. So that's how I do that. But we need to find a way to have some quiet time. That's really what the meditation should be about. It should be about a quiet time to hear from God, so you can hear God's voice. And some people like to put on some spiritual music. I choose instrumental spiritual music, but some people put on, spiritual music with words, however you want to do. But you need to have some quiet time with the Lord. And you need on a regular basis to take a few minutes to rid yourself of negative thoughts, negative energy, and to get your mind renewed with the Word of God. So I just want to say that to you. Got a couple of more things. And one of them is have realistic expectations. You know, there's a saying that you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And there's nothing wrong with being heavenly minded, but you live in this world. You are living in a world where all kinds of hell is going on. And you have got to stay connected so God can lead you. So you got to keep your mind on the fact that you live in a real world, not a fantasy world, and be realistic about your expectations and your outlook. You have to know that if your outlook is practical, then you're less likely to set yourself up for disappointment. So I was trying to think of some examples to show you what we're talking about, because I wanted you to be clear on. So I went to Rhema Bible Training College, and the first week of my attendance to that Bible college was spent in an orientation that was done by a man by the name of Dr. Frederick Price. He was a pastor here in California, down in Southern California, a great man of the word. He's now gone home to be with the Lord, but he was friends with the president of the Bible College, and he came to do the orientation for new students, for all of us. We all had to take it. And he'd come, and he'd do a week with us. And he'd do it from a book he wrote called Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. I want to say that again. Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And from that book, he would teach us what faith is and what foolishness is regarding faith and what presumption is regarding faith. All of that came together. And it seems, according to the dean that was the person who was the dean at that time, that people write faith checks. And a faith check is when you write a check when you don't have no money in the bank. And so you're writing that check by faith. And there's nothing wrong with writing a check, holding on to it. You know, you write the check for the amount you're believing God for. But you don't give anybody that check until the money manifests, you see. Because once you pray, the money will manifest. And then you can give that check to whomever you want to give it to. But these folks was writing faith checks, and they weren't waiting for the money to manifest. And so they had bounced checks. And so in the orientation, Dean Moffitt told us, if you bounce a check, if he have to talk to you about you writing a hot check, that it wasn't going to be good. So that's foolishness. But it's also presumption. You just went ahead and did that, knowing you didn't have no money in the bank, and then gave it to somebody. It's okay if you write it and hold on to it. I'm writing this check by faith, and I believe in God that the money will come, and then I can give it to somebody. So that's just one example. So I can give you more examples, but I'd like to go ahead and see if we can finish this. I think we're almost done. Well, we got some more stuff, but anyway, the other thing that I want you to be able to do is to study the scripture. We all need a bit of inspiration from time to time. And so we need to seek out scriptures that talk about the mind. And if you look in your concordance in your Bible, or if you go online to Strong's Concordance, it'll give you some scriptures about the mind. And so I love Philippians 4:8. Y'all all will recognize this scripture because I love it. It says, begin to think on the word and begin to sing a praise song to God. make a conscious effort to fill your mind with good, pure, wholesome, and lovely thoughts. And you recognize that part about your mind with good, pure, wholesome, and healthy thoughts. If you look at it in your translation, you will recognize that scripture because I use it as our benediction most of the time when we meet, but just take a look at it. You'll recognize it, most of you that have been with me for any length of time. And then I just want to talk about venting, because I've got to stop after this. Talk about venting. And y'all know about venting. You know about it in some way, because sometimes we get ourselves so upset, we have to vent. And we have to call somebody, or we just talk to ourselves about what's going on, or talk to God about it. You know, I vent to the Lord a lot because I know that He is trustworthy. And I know when I tell Him something's going to happen, but sometimes we have a family member or a friend.